Now, we're still at the launching pad, and get ready for this one. And we're going to see now something else. And we're going to see, actually, the first astronaut as we come to verse 5. Believe it or not, we're going to see a woman that's in one of these capsules. It's called an ephah. That's a bushel basket. Now, will you look at this? Verse 5 of chapter 5. Then the angel who talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And again, I must call attention to it. He's got his eyes wide open looking at this. This is no dream, but his eyes are open. He sees this. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. Now, an ephah is a measurement a little larger than a bushel. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talon of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. Now, here the first astronaut was a woman. I wasn't very kind to women's lib the last time, and I'm not going to be today, but here is a good point. The first astronaut was a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. Now, this is the vision that is before us, and we want to look at it for just a few moments. Now, that ephah, or bushel basket, is a space capsule. It's made of lead, a most unlikely metal for flying, but it withstands friction. You put Babbitt in a box. I know when I was a boy, I used to watch my dad put lead Babbitt in a box that the main shaft would run on, and all you had to do is just keep that oil so the friction would not burn it out. And so this would be good for travel if you got enough power to move it. Now, there's a woman in this space capsule, and she is, as we've said, the first astronaut. Now, again, let's look at it. He says here, then the angel who talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes, see what this that is set before you. Well, and I said, what is it? After all, this is the first one Zechariah had ever seen, and he didn't know what it was. I'm sure many of you can remember the great thrill you had when you heard about John Glenn making a trip in space, and he didn't go very far, didn't go around the earth even, but it put man in space. Well, here is a woman in space. And it says, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talon of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. Now, let's stop there for just a moment, because this is a very important thing to see. Actually, what you have here is the continuation of judgment upon the sin and iniquity of these people. The sin and iniquity is going to be removed from the land when the millennium begins. And it looks forward to that. And it looks forward to the judgment of Babylon, because this vision needs to be put with the 18th chapter of Revelation, where you see the judgment of Babylon, which actually is commercial Babylon. And you have the judgment of religious Babylon in chapter 17. Now, what you have here is that which he's judging, which is this matter of covetousness, thou shalt not covet, and the love of money, commercialism, the greed that is connected with it. For to begin with, the bushel basket, the ephah, represents business. It represents commercialism, buying and selling. And that lead weight there that's emphasized, that lead weight actually is made for the weighing of produce. And it is to be used in just that way. Now, you will find out that one of the great sins of these people when they returned from Babylon was just simply that. They had an insatiable love for money, love for things. And Nehemiah had to correct that. You remember that they were loaning to their brother. They were loaning to him at a high rate of interest, usury. And it was a sin, and they had been forbidden to do that according to the Mosaic law. And believe me, Nehemiah made them straighten that thing out. Now, when we come to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, that is a picture of life in that day after the temple was built, the last book of the Old Testament, and he asked the question, will a man rob God? And believe me, God answered it for them. He says, yet ye have robbed me. And God says that they were guilty of that. He says, ye have robbed me, even this whole nation has robbed me. Now, that is the thing that this man sees here, is that fact that this insatiable love of money, of trying to get rich, and trying to get rich just to accumulate money, and you're willing to hurt your brother in order to accumulate it, for that's what they were doing in Nehemiah's day. God says, I intend to remove that from the land, and I'm going to take it right back where you got it, which was down in the land of Babylon. I'd like for you to see something here for just a moment. The children of Israel were a pastoral and an agricultural people. And most of the Mosaic law has to do with that type of a situation. It has to do with the land, with the vineyards, with the grain, with all that sort of thing. And when these people were in the land, they were a pastoral people, agricultural people. And they are that largely over there today. They have certainly gone back to the land. Anytime they return to that land, they go back to the land, really. When they're out of that land, they do something else. You'll never find a Jewish farmer. At least I never heard of one. They just don't get in that business when they're out of that land. But when they return, they do. Now, down in Babylon, they had learned commercialism. And they learned it from the Gentiles. And they had an insatiable love for riches, love for material things, because they learned that down in Babylon. The Babylonians, the Gentiles, had that sort of thing. Now, this is a picture of judgment, of that type of thing, that God intends to take this commercialism back down yonder to the land of Babylon. And when you go to the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, you find that God is going to judge commercial Babylon at the setting up of his kingdom. He's going to get rid of that type of thing. And as you go through the Word of God, you'll find it's rather a revolutionary book. That may be another reason why some people don't like it. Now, it's interesting. They say that John Calvin got capitalism out of the Bible, and I think he did. But I want to say this. You can get more on the side of the poor people than you can on the side of the rich. Have you ever noticed again and again, and I've called attention to it, when we were back in the Epistle of James, I call your attention where he said, come now, you rich, weep and howl, your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver have rusted, just to gather money for the sake of gathering. And then he says, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. I tell you, I wonder if God might not have a word to say to some of these great corporations today, or in the great labor unions also. I'm not sure, but what God has a word, and God intends to judge that sort of thing. That sort of thing's not going into the kingdom of God here upon this earth. And if there ever was a book that's revolutionary, it's this book here, the Word of God. It's too hot for a lot of folk to handle today. Now, there are a great many people who say, I'm amazed that you get by with what you say on the radio. Well, I'm amazed too. But I'm only telling you what the Word of God says here. Here is a vision that reveals that God intends to take that thing. And those two women with stork wings, well, a stork in Scripture is not a picture of an angel. It's a dirty bird. It's an unclean bird. And the fact that the woman is there is another thing. Now, here's where I get in trouble. But any time that you see a woman out of place in Scripture, there's always an evil connotation. Take the woman that is taking leaven and putting it in the flour. That was wrong. That leaven is evil. It speaks of evil. That's the principle all the way through the Word of God. The leaven of evil. And we find that when a woman is out of place, you know, the most lovely position of a woman is a woman that has a child. Do you know she can do something no man can do? You can talk about women's rights all you want to. What about men's rights? When a man going to start having babies? If we're going to have equal rights, I'm for that. However, I'm not for it, really. But the point is that she's the only one that can bring one in the world, and she's the only one in the world that knows who's the father, too. And therefore, God gave her that exalted position. And I don't care which direction a woman steps, she steps down when she steps from that position that God has given to her. Well, what a picture. And when you see her moving yonder in religion, you find evil connected with it. And this is not a pretty picture here. This is God's judgment on commercialism. What a picture it is. Now, she represents, I think, this nation that had gone into commercialism in Babylon. And she represents that day that they'd been taken into captivity. Now they're returned, and God wanted to bless them, but that awful sin must be taken back to Babylon. And in the future, before God establishes his kingdom here upon this earth, he intends to remove that, and commercial Babylon will be judged. What a picture that you have here in this vision. Now let me read on here. Now I think I'll drop down to verse 8. He said, "This is the wicked one," and that wicked one is Antichrist, "and he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth of it. Then lifted I up mine eyes, and look," he's still seeing things. "Behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork. They lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven." Now they're going to move it. Moving what? Moving this matter of covetousness, this matter of the love of money, this matter of commercialism. That becomes godless and heartless. And when it becomes godless, it becomes heartless. I can assure you that. "Then said I to the angel who talked with me, where do these bear the ephah? He said unto me, to build for it a house in the land of Shinar." It's going back where it came from. And today, this is the thing that God will judge. Is God today in the stock market? Is God in big business? Is God in the labor unions? Of course he's not. Anyone with any intelligence knows that God is left out of the entertainment business also. God today is out, but God's going to judge, friends. God intends to remove these things from this earth someday. What a hope that is, a glorious hope it is, as we live in this present evil age. All right, until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.